Bloomberg, the first word, with Karen Moscow and John Bascom. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Our guest is James Shugg, a senior economist at Westpac. On the line with us from London now. James, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
What effect might this have on the Bank of England as it comes under pressure to start raising rates?
Well, the bank is expecting, based on their May forecasts, that the economy will lose a little bit of momentum heading into the second half of this year. And that would mean that the slack that's in the economy, which allows them to keep interest rates close to zero, would not be eaten up as quickly as it would be if there were to be no moderation in growth whatsoever. It looks like, based on these figures, that growth moderation isn't really coming through. Although the statistician does make assumptions about June economic data, and there is potential for revision, there's not a lot of evidence that we're seeing this slowdown, other than some softer retail sales figures yesterday, and industrial production figures were a bit weaker as well recently. But it's touch and go, and the bank will be revising their forecasts next month, and it'll be interesting to see if they still have this view that the economy does moderate a bit in the second half of the year.
So for now, though, this doesn't change the BOE's estimate of spare capacity?
I think for some members of the committee who are already itching to vote for a rate rise, and you might even see a split vote at the next meeting, numbers like this will firm their resolve to actually start removing policy accommodation before the end of the year. That doesn't mean a majority will share that view. Our view at Westpac is that there will be some softening in growth and an ongoing weakness in the wages growth story, such that the inflation concerns aren't sufficient for them to move before the first half of 2015.
Are there things about the UK economy that aren't convincing to you at this point?
The things that concern me are the very weak wages growth. That's running about a percentage point behind inflation, and that means household incomes continue to be eroded. So that's going to undermine consumption. The housing market looks to be overextended in some quarters, but the bank has put in place macroprudential controls to try and address that. So I don't think that needs to be addressed by interest rates as such. And there's the ongoing malaise in Europe, which is where Britain exports most of its manufacturers to. So, you know, there are factors that are still weighing on the economy, and indeed the inflation itself, I think, has got further downside ahead of it. So for those reasons, we think the bank should tread carefully on rates for the near term, and as I say, middle of next year, that might be when we'd see a rate rise, the first rate rise.
Yeah, since you bring it up there, why does the European economy continue to seem to diverge as much as it is? So today we have data showing German business confidence declined for a third month in July amid weaker growth. This is the IFO Institute's Business Climate Index.
Look, there have been mixed surveys. We had PMI surveys yesterday, which showed the Germany in particular doing very well. I think it depends who you survey. It depends the timing of the surveys. There have been some pretty horrific events on the edge of the Eurozone in the last week or so that might be colouring people's opinions too. Well, I think the big issue is the competitiveness one between Germany and France. If you look at the PMIs, Germany is running around the mid-50s. France is struggling at or under 50. And that's an indication that in a weak growth environment, it's going to be Germany that's going to grow and France is going to stall or go backwards. And that remains an ongoing concern for the Eurozone for years to come, I suspect, because Hollande hasn't been able to put in place the competitiveness reforms that countries like Spain and Portugal were forced to do, and they are going to start to reap some benefit from that. It was very painful for them, but they had no other choice. France had the choice to not do it because they weren't being attacked by the financial markets. But they might be the losers in the longer run because of that.
The Federal Reserve meets next week. Any changes there that you see?
Well, Dr. Yellen did indicate that the normalisation of monetary policy was being discussed. not with the view to it actually happening now, but just how they might go about it. So it's possible there'll be something in the statement along those lines, and markets should be careful not to interpret that as being a signal that policy is about to be normalised. What really interests me is what the GDP numbers that day, they come out a few hours before the statement from the FOMC, because, of course, the GDP numbers will include back revisions, which could change history, because I want to know why US bosses hired almost 1.5 million people in the first half of this year who actually produced nothing extra. I mean, the risk is that even if the, you know, the, why would they hire another 1.5 million people in the second half of this year when they could just get the people they've already hired to do, you know, produce output? So I think there's a risk to the downside of the jobs going forward, and I'm not sure the Fed recognises that yet.
It's a good question. James Shug is senior economist at Westpac in London. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Bloomberg, the first word. Weekday mornings at 5 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.